J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Our guy, Jeff Dickerson, tweeted this morning that Nicholas Foles is expected to meet the media on Wednesday, which some people would believe that means he's going to start Sunday night at Lambeau Field.
Maybe.
But word out of Halas Hall is that Mitchell Trubisky's shoulder is progressing nicely and has been throwing the football, slinging it around a bit. So maybe it's Matt Nagy trying to play a little misdirection. I'm not going to tell you which quarterback I'm going with.
Until Friday.
Yeah, and then Friday he'll news dump it.
And JD's just having a couple of drinks. He's just trying to relax, and all of a sudden here's Nagy coming hat in hand. He's like, well, you know, I've reconsidered. We're going to have Mitch be our starter.
Correct.
Wait a minute.
I'm handing play calling duties off. Son of a! Parker, get my laptop! That would be his son. JD joins us now. JD, good morning.
Gentlemen, Cap, happy belated birthday, my friend. I hope it was a wonderful birthday. And yeah, I mean, I think what
Thank
has
you.
To happen, of course, I think what has to happen here is that, you know, they have to go through a normal Wednesday practice and release the report as to who is actually doing what, because Trubisky has not been practicing since he hurt his shoulder. And we'll see where Nick Foles' hip pointer injury is at following the bye week. So, I mean, it says Foles on Wednesday. My guess is Foles will talk on Wednesday. What does that mean? I mean, nothing is written certainly in stone here. You know, I think what they should do, this is just my opinion. I think if both guys are healthy, I think you play both guys on Sunday night. You know, maybe Foles starts, but I think you bring in Trubisky and try to mix things up. It's all
oh,
they
stop.
Have left. It's that's all they have
that's
left.
A train wreck.
Why? What? It's a train wreck regardless.
Both.
Just play one guy. That's it.
Why? What has that gotten you? Are we going to build up this ridiculous notion this week that Mitch is coming back, the comeback tour, I'm back? No. It's like Vince McMahon right there.
Right.
I'm back.
Like Yurko, said, and I'm right there with him. If I'm Mitchell Trubisky, you guys want me to go back and play now? Go F yourselves.
Well, I think that, okay.
It's terrible.
Remember, that contract he signed, he got $36 million guaranteed. So it's not as if Mitch has been playing for free as the second overall pick. Yes, he's been out there. He's played a lot. But, I mean, I think there is still an expectation that if you're healthy and they need you to play, you should go out there and play. I understand you're talking about long-term cap. You know, he doesn't want to get re-injured here, have surgery this offseason, and screw up whatever free agency options he may have. But I still think that at the end of the day, they've paid him more money than he ever would have made doing anything else in his life and for any other team he might have played for. So, I mean, he's got to go if they say to him, hey, Mitch, you're up. You got to play. I would still, again, let both guys play on Sunday night. Because you know why? Because, look, they tried to change play callers. Nothing helped. Nothing worked. They've talked all year about making these offensive improvements. Nothing has happened. Do you guys really believe that we're going to hear, you know, we had a chance to self-scout? That's the buzzword after the bye week, isn't it? We had a chance to sit back and self-scout. What did they self-scout? What's getting better? Nothing's getting better. At least try something a little different.
I would love to have been in the self
10 plays, 12 plays. Come on.
I'd love to have been in the self scouting meeting. Why do we suck offensively? That's about it.
Well, but then there's really no. I mean, there's things you can say that like certain things, but I mean, collectively, if there's they don't have a solution. Put it this way, it's easy to identify what's going wrong. It's harder to say, here's how we fix what's going wrong. I could tell you the roof is leaking, but I'm not the guy to go up there and start messing with the pipes.
No.
You know? They don't have a pipe fitter. Oh, they don't have that guy.
JD, through the first 10 games of the season for the Bears, are the Bears as bad or worse than you thought when you first made your predictions?
I think my prediction was 7-9. So I'm going to say that they're about what I thought they would be. I didn't know that. Actually, I take that back a little bit, okay? I didn't think offensively they'd be this bad. I didn't think defensively they would have such moments of dominance. It's not perfect defensively, don't get me wrong, but I mean, they've really had some great moments defensively. So I feel like if you take away a couple of the fluky wins, they're right where most of us thought they would be. Now, what do they do from here on out? Guys, I mean, they got to go 4-2 just to win 9 games. That's not easy.
Nope.
And the Packers are on the schedule twice, and you know Green Bay is very upset. They let that game get away in Indy against a really tough Colts team that just buried the Bears. That defense buried the Bears offense about a month and a half ago. So can you go 4-2 just to get the 9 to give yourself a chance to make the playoffs? I don't know.
What are you, Carm?
All right,
no,
just ask
hey, easy
question.
Now.
Ask
I don't know.
Listen, I don't.
Maybe four, maybe
I don't
not.
Do Whiskey Wednesday. I don't raise my voice, okay? You leave Carm alone. Leave Carm out of this.
Love Carm. So as you look where this thing is headed, and let's just assume that they finish somewhere between 5-11 and 7-9.
Yeah.
Do you think substantive change will come to Lake Forest, or it's going to be the same old, same old?
They could always use COVID as an excuse.
Oh,
they could
always
talk Dabo. About the year.
Yeah, the franchise is only worth $4
billion. Thanks, Dabo.
Hey, no, I'm not Dabo. Don't you be.
Using COVID
as an excuse. It was just one COVID case. I mean, I can't believe Florida State, bunch of yellow cowards. No, I'm not thinking how Dabo thinks. This is what we talked about last week. You could make the argument that certainly there should be some people's jobs who are closely are evaluated and might be in jeopardy of losing them. But I never assume that the Bears will make the easy or correct decision. I don't know if you're looking at a complete offseason reboot after this year. I don't know. I have my doubts. But again, it all goes back to we're having a conversation about should they start Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky. Isn't this the root of the problem? Like, you watch the games this weekend, and of course you see what Mahomes did last night. How about John Gruden, who we all laughed at, who we thought was in some like Corona time warp when he got that job back with the Raiders? How about the way that he has rebuilt Derek Carr? How about that? Take that, right? You watch all these offenses just ping, 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 just moving the ball up the field. You know, Justin Herbert's having this great rookie year with the Chargers, you know, of Burrow, and you hate to see him get injured, but that guy's a player. You know, you see before the injury, that guy's tough. He was making some magic happen with the Bengals a little bit. You know, Tua got lost some reps yesterday, but that's been a great story this year. And we're talking about Mitch or Foles. And that's why people nationally don't really take the Bears seriously. Like this summer, we'd have our big ESPN, you know, planning meetings, and they'd be like, okay, let's go to Chicago now and Jeff Dickerson. Jeff, what is the big story out of Bears camp this summer? And I'd be like, oh, well, we have a very hot quarterback derby here between Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. And there'd be silence. They'd be like, that's a hot quarterback derby? Like, yes. They go, okay, you'll be on page 9. And that's just how they feel about the Bears nationally, because we're talking about these two guys as potentially playing against the Packers when we all know that neither one is good enough and there's no answer on the horizon. To me, that's very sad on a beautiful Monday.
You were, I know you heard our conversation regarding Jim Harbaugh and Pat Fitzgerald. I'm sure you've seen this all weekend. Fitzgerald, obviously Northwestern doing well, JD. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, not doing well in Michigan, but we've heard people ask for Jim Harbaugh maybe being with the Bears, the NFL.
Oh.
What do you think of both of those coaches on the next level?
I mean, Harbaugh, he's not making $8 million plus to get to the Citrus Bowl every year. I'm sorry. And you and I have these talks a lot on our show, Jonathan. We dive deep into college football. Like, Jim Harbaugh wasn't brought to Michigan to win 8 or 9 games a year. Now, this year he's having a real bad year, and I thought his khakis were going to fall off against Rutgers on Saturday night when they were down, and Rutgers got in front in overtime. I mean, Harbaugh was, like, bent over in pain on the sidelines. They found a way to come back and win, which was nice for them, but, you know, they brought him in to compete for national championships, to make the college football playoffs, and they have not done that. They have been a non-factor. They're another non-factor this year, so I don't know how you can sell that to anybody. Maybe the Jets would be dumb enough to do that, but I don't know how anyone could say, wow, that's the guy I want to come in to fix my program. I don't see it either on the NFL level. Well, you know, in college, if, you know, Illinois job, something like that. I mean, I wouldn't mind him at like a mid-tier, you know, Power 5 school, but not a big dog. And then for Fitz, why would Fitz leave a $5 million a year job, guys? Come on. Fitz has got it. Fitz has got life. You know, he's got a great AD in Jim Phillips. You know, Ryan Fieldhouse, I've taken a tour of that. It's amazing. They got to redo the stadium, and I'm sure that Jim will do that. Northwestern is like, you got the best AD. You got some of the best facilities. You can win 7-8 games a year, and that's they throw parades for you for doing that. I think Fitz would be nuts to leave. I wouldn't. Would you guys think that he should come to the Bears? I don't think he should.
No, if he said to me, what do you think? I would tell him, enjoy your life, man. You got a beautiful family. You work for literally the best AD in the game. Yeah. What are you crazy? It's your alma mater. You bleed purple. They love you there.
I'd be like, go Cats, Fitz. Don't go anywhere. I mean, just stay there.
But
and he's making, it's not as if he's not making a lot of money. I mean,
correct.
He's making a great salary. He does a great service. He has found the types of players. You know, they're not getting the guys Ohio State gets, but so that's okay. They found their player. You know, they compete with Stanford for a lot of these student athletes, and I mean, they got tons of talent. They're smart, well coached. Their defensive coaching staff. I know Fitz is pumped up about that. I don't know. I think he's got just a great situation, and I would not muddy it up by taking an NFL job. Certainly not the Bears.
JD, have a great rest of your week. Best to Parker, and make sure you cook a really good Thanksgiving meal for him.
We'll do my very best. Guys, always a pleasure. We'll talk later in the week.
Oh, wait, okay? Bristol just texted in
what happened?
They want you to go to Detroit for the game on Thursday.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
What happened? They get rid of Rothstein?
I guess. They said, okay, tell JD we need him in Detroit.
Kidding. Oh, no. That's Rothstein's turf. No.
Have a great day, kid.
I thought you were going to say, hey, they called you and they reassessed it. They want Trubisky versus Foles for this week. Move to page 11. So you've gone from page 9 to page 11.
That's great.
Wow. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
See ya. There he is, the great Jeff Dickerson. So how do you fix the quarterback spot? It's easy for all of us to sit here and fire on Nagy and Pace and McCaskey. So what would you do to improve the Chicago Bears? We'll tell you what we would do next. Hey, if overhead is dragging you down, then it's time to lower your energy costs like a boss. If you have energy-saving ideas, the Comet Energy Efficiency Program has the incentives and tech support to turn those ideas into a reality. Find incentives on any energy-saving projects, ranging from lighting upgrades to motion sensors to improvements for your IT room and more. Save money and energy like a boss. Visit ComEd.com. Funded in compliance with state law.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So how do you fix the quarterback spot? Are we cleaning out the whole staff up there? We're talking about in a pandemic with no fans, reduced sponsors, all of it. Now, when you got a franchise that's worth between $3.5 and $4 billion, don't tell me you can't afford to do what you need to do. Whatever that is, don't tell me you can't afford it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear, well, we just financially can't do it. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. So if that's new head coach, new staff, new GM, or if you're behind the guys you have, much as I might do something different, it's their call, not mine, not Hoodie's. But the bottom line is, whatever that plan is, I better not hear that we can't afford to do what we have to do.
Before you make that move, though, make sure you understand that you want to be ahead of the curve. You can hire Joe GM, Joe General Manager, Joe Head Coach, and it really won't make much of a difference unless you really think about what you want to be as an organization. If you're George McCaskey, he's a good Bears fan and an owner of the team. He realizes that the offense has been behind the curve for decades. You're looking for that guy that can unlock the mystery of why the offense has been so bad. So you got to be able to try to take a look at your restructure. You have to restructure your organization. And I know that we've had a lot of calls over the last three, 4 weeks about Ted Phillips and Ted Phillips being the problem. Look, man, Ted Phillips doesn't have to be part of the equation at all. Even in the hiring of the next GM or head coach. You got to be able to restructure. We have documented how the Blackhawks and the Cubs were able to get it done. You restructure your organization. Don't be mom and pop. You're in a big market. You got to do it the right way. You want other smaller markets to look at you and say, wow, look at what the Bears did. Look what they did in that spaceship. Look what they did at Soldier Field, right?
Okay, so here's where I'm at. Look, I would love to have Patrick Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, handing off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, Le'Veon Bell's available. We'll take him too. Sure. And have Harrison Butker kicking and Mitchell Schwartz blocking. I wish we had all that. We don't. That's just the fact. So what is the best way to try and get us competitive, balanced? Like, I look at Tennessee. They put their money into their offensive line. They got a hell of a running back. They picked a guy off the scrap heap and made him prove himself in Ryan Tannehill. And they haven't won the Super Bowl yet. They're a really, really well-coached, good football team. But if you think back, Hoodie, and I heard you taking calls on this when they had fired John Fox.
Yeah.
We have to get an offensive coach because, heaven forbid, if he's if we get a defensive guy and the coordinator's really good, he's going to leave. I just want the best guy. Tennessee went and hired Mike frickin' Vrabel, who was a defensive player.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're going to run the football. We're going to play good defense. And we'll find a quarterback, and they did.
And a line that can protect Tannehill.
Correct.
Yeah.
So just get the best guy. I don't care if he's an offensive wizard. Just get the best damn head coach.
You know what I want? I want the Bears to be to have that sustained success that the Packers have. That's what I want, because as long as you're winning, that means you can just add a piece or two and then go after it next year.
Yep.
Don't win this year, add a piece or two and get. That's the way that I want to see the Bears. And no disrespect to the Cubs with their one World Series championship, but at least they had sustained success by getting into the playoffs. I'll take that. I don't like the one-offs for the Bears. I don't like that. You went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, then you're 8-8. Now you could be 7-9, 8-8 again. On the outside looking in, with an expanded playoff, you might be out of the playoff picture again. I don't want that. To me, sustained success matters, Cap, because that means you're close. That means you're close, because at least you're in the mix.
You're
in the,
hunt every year.
That's all I want.
Great.
Is that asking too much to just be in the hunt for your team?
No.
We had to celebrate a division championship or a successful season, and then next year you fall apart. Now, I understand it's the NFL that it happens, but it shouldn't happen. It didn't happen to the good teams.
Correct.
It didn't happen to Kansas City.
Agreed.
It doesn't happen in Green Bay very often,
Agreed.
Right? So that's all I'm looking for. So to me, president of football ops, a GM and a head coach, all working in concert. That's what I want. You know, I want the Bears to be the Cubs only in this regard. Eventually, I want the Bears to be able to have their own stadium, to have their own revenue streams around that stadium, just like the Cubs do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want ownership to have the commitment that Ricketts had. None of this happens, besides Theo, none of this happens without the commitment to winning financially.
Correct.
Now, it's a different kind of deal with the NFL because you're under constraints. But you've got to be able to have a vision. At least Theo had a vision. You know what Theo's vision was? I'm going to get the best free agents, and if you're over 30, you probably won't make it here. Unless you're John Lester, unless you're special, right?
Correct.
So the Bears have to look at it the same way. If you have to tear parts of it down to be able to build it up with a new vision, I'm good with that. I hate to come in here every morning talking about a 4-12 team, but if you're going to get right eventually through the draft and make your right moves from a free agent standpoint, and you're an offensive-minded team for once, I'll take it.
Yeah,
that make sense?
It does. It absolutely does. I just don't want us to feel like we have to be Kansas City.
No, you don't have to be.
And we're not going to be. No. We don't have any of those pieces.
No, but I would like their philosophy of where you have a game like the Raider game last night, and immediately, once the Raiders took the lead, I said, you know what? Kansas City's going to win this game.
He's going right down the field.
Because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
You just knew it was going to happen.
Correct.
Wouldn't you like to see something automatic offensively for the Bears?
Love it.
I haven't seen that. Have I ever seen that for the Bears?
Never.
I don't even think McMahon was that automatic.
No. That team was amazing defensively. They had Walter Payton running the ball. They had a great offensive line. And McMahon was colorful and made a few plays. But we were never blessed offensively in this town. 312-332-3776. To the phones. Let's go to Sean in Norwood Park. Hey, Sean.
Hi there, guys.
What's up, Sean?
Love your guys' show.
Thanks.
I just had a question for Cap. Why is it okay that like the Bears are worth $3.5 and $4 billion, and you don't want to hear them talk about money, but when you talk about the Cubs, you always say that they're cash strapped. And they're worth about the same.
Well, but I also said I don't want to hear from Tom Ricketts that he can't afford to do what he needs to do. I've said that consistently. I'm just telling you, they have $1 billion on their balance sheet in debt. The Bears don't.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. Some of that debt is the Ricketts their own. Like, they split it up, like. I know for a fact that they split it all up, like, in between, like, the Cubs, the Ricketts. So, I mean, like...
No. The Chicago Cubs have $1 billion in debt on their books. That's a fact.
Well, I don't know. I wish they would put it out and say it. But
well, why would they do that? They're not going to do that.
I just don't see, like, if you're an owner of an NFL or baseball franchise, you shouldn't talk about like the debt, because we all go out and spend the money to watch the games. You know, they should put out a product that is worth going to see.
I don't disagree with you, but the fact of the matter is, and appreciate your call, the Cubs, they decided to mortgage their future so they could buy that rooftop from Hoodie and that one from Tyler and that one from JR. Oh, let's redo the stadium. Let's build an office building. Let's buy that land. Let's build a hotel. And all of a sudden, a pandemic hit and they're cash strapped. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Doesn't mean they were right or wrong. It's just a fact.
They had all those revenue streams around Wrigley Field, and they didn't know a pandemic was coming.
Right.
They had all that revenue. And, of course, the ballpark was going to be full, and now you don't have that. And so now you're bleeding money. Here's the thing. They'll be able to recover that money at some point.
Someday.
Just don't know when, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You better be able to suck it up for a few years, Buttercup.
What about the Marquee Network?
A couple of years, you're going to be loving the Marquee Network.
Maybe he did see something we didn't see.
Yeah.
Never heard Cub fans like that before.
312-332-3776. You make the call. JR found something this weekend that I tried to do and have failed so far. We'll tell you what that was and more of your calls on the Bears next.
Boo. We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment here on Captain J. Hood.
Here's the great Jonathan Hood.
I've got it. Don't you worry about me, pal. I want to tell you about Illinois Media School. Can I tell you about Illinois Media School?
You bet. Mr. Ali is waiting.
So he's there waiting for your phone call, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700, for Illinois Media School in Lombard. Go to the website, beonair.com. It's beonair.com. Are you like thousands of sports fans that want to be closer to the action? Have you dreamed of going behind the scenes at a sporting event? The sports broadcasting program at Illinois Media School Lombard can help you get there. As a sports broadcaster, one day you can operate the cameras on the sidelines of a football game, and then the next you'll be interviewing one of your favorite players. Or you could be announcing the next hitter up to bat in a baseball game. You never know, because the opportunities are endless at Illinois Media School in Lombard. So go to the website, beonair.com. They got financial aid for those who qualify, day and evening classes as well. I get this all the time. People slide into the DMs saying, the Illinois Media School thing you talk about, is that thing true? Is that a rib? It's not a rib. No, it's a real thing. Illinois Media School Lombard. It's not about a job or a gig. It's a career. If you're interested, I tell you always, go to the website, beonair.com, schedule a visit, walk around the campus, find out if it's for you. Illinois Media School Lombard, 630-916-1700, or go to the website, beonair.com.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sport.
ESPN 1000.
With Hoodie?
Yeah.
I'm Cap. Look what you did at those phone lines, Hoodie. Look what you did.
I didn't do anything.
Lines just hopping here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 to the phones. And let's go to Glenn in Indiana. Glenn, hello.
Cap, how are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, you guys kind of hit on it a little bit. Hoodie did, and you did as well. When we're going with this high-speed offense and all these special plays, how bad is Soldier Field when it comes to this? And I'm talking about the turf. Because we look back at when Walter Payton was rushing for 2,000 yards a season. That was on turf. And now we're drafting guys that are playing on high school fields that have better turf than Soldier Field does, let alone college fields that have better turf than Soldier Field does.
So if
we have good players and they're relatively fast, and now we put them on a terrible field, you're leveling the playing field. And I think that's why the Bears were so good on the road a couple years ago.
Yeah, so the Bears, it's an interesting point. The Bears, thank you for your call. Have a great day. Soldier Field used AstroTurf from 71 until 87.
I remember that.
And I remember asking Ted Phillips, doing a show, asking Ted Phillips, why can the New England Patriots use a hybrid, this newer turf-type field? They're outside. Their weather's the identical weather, basically, to us. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady's better than any quarterback times 100 that we've ever had. So why can they do that? Well, we're studying it to see the effects of injury. Here we are like 8 years after that interview, and he's still hung on. You know what it is? It's about $1 million to put the field in, and the park district doesn't want to pay for it, and neither do the Bears.
So you get your own stadium.
Right. You hear Al Michaels take a shot yesterday?
I was just going to bring that up, yeah, because there was a wad of turf in one of the fullback's helmets, and he says, you only see that at Soldier Field.
Right. He did say that.
He did.
The Cap Boso.
Remember that?
With the chunk of grass in the helmet.
Do you remember that? Who they played that game and what went on in that game?
It was a primetime game.
Monday night game.
Yeah. Who do they play?
The Jets.
Yeah.
And the Bears are losing late, and the Jets are running the clock out, and Blair Thomas gets stripped by Steve McMichael.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harbaugh threw what you thought was the game-winning touchdown to Cap Boso. Mm-hmm. They called him down at like the one. He was doing an interview with the late Tim Weigel on TV, and they came running. Hey, the game ain't over. Get over here. And he left the interview, ran back on the field. They ran it in and then won the game.
That's so funny.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
So might have been the same night. Remember the guy jumped out of the stands to catch the extra point?
Yes. He was just featured on SportsCenter recently.
It's crazy. He was. 312-332-3776. To the phones again. Ahmad is in Chicago Ridge. Ahmad, what's up, man?
How you guys doing, Captain Hood?
What's up, Ahmad?
I just want to say that I am sick and tired of the McCaskey family. I don't think that they deserve this franchise anymore. I mean, they bled this organization dry. We have one of the worst stadiums. They mix friendship with business. That's why they won't fire Ted Phillips, one of the worst presidents in NFL history. And again, it's another rebuild. We're looking at another rebuild because they keep bringing in these people who don't know anything about football, like Ryan Pace and Phil Emery and all that. And this is where we're at. I'm really sick and tired of the McCaskey family, man.
Well, before you say that they bring in people that don't know anything about football, keep in mind that Sean Payton offered Ryan Pace a big raise to stay there. They loved him in New Orleans. So, again, I'm not defending Ryan's moves. They're indefensible. But perhaps this thing is more systemic than just, let's go get another GM, and let's go get another GM, and let's go get another GM. Maybe it goes way, way deeper than this, Hoodie. Appreciate you, Ahmad.
Yeah, so, Ahmad, if you're sick of George McCaskey, what are you going to do? Stop being a Bears fan? If you're tired of him because they're not giving up the team, so what are you going to do? You're going to stop? Telling us about it is one thing, but if you're going to give up your fandom, that's another.
Correct.
If you're not willing to do that, then you got to stick it out with the rest of us.
Correct.
Just
simple as that.
Hold your nose and cheer for your team.
You have every right to complain, but what else are you going to do? We have given suggestions more so than any other show about what the Bears should do as far as infrastructure. Don't do the same old like you've been doing.
Right.
Find football people that can help you in the front office.
You want me to hire a football person for my football person?
Yeah, absolutely, Rosner. You got to do that. You know what? That's what the Cubs did.
They did.
Baseball man for my baseball man for my baseball man.
Right.
Who was that? Theo Jed McLeod.
Correct.
That's how they did. He hired a baseball man for his baseball man.
Correct.
Baseball man for my baseball man. Baseball man. That's what he said.
Wow.
That's what he did, didn't he?
He did.
All right.
312-332-3776. Let's go to, how about John in LaGrange? He wants to weigh in. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, John.
The topic of the field always comes up with the turf at Soldier Field always comes up. And as you mentioned, it's owned by the Park District. It's not just about the cost of putting in turf. It's all the other events they host. International soccer, which they get plenty of those, particularly in the off season for the Bears, they're not approved to play on anything but a natural grass surface. So until like FIFA changes rules or other things change rules, they're not going to go because they'll lose those events.
I want a new stadium, John. Can I get that?
Hey, I'm all for it.
Where do you want it? Do you want it in the city or the suburbs if you had your
brothers? Well, you know, you'd like it. I'd like it in the city just because traditionalists, you know, go a little further south, maybe find a spot there. There's, you know, it won't be close to where it's at. I think that ship has sailed, but in the city would be preferred.
How about LaGrange?
Hey, how big's your backyard?
A little league field out here. So, you know, good luck.
Appreciate you, man. Have a great day, John.
Where'd you say Arlington Heights?
Arlington Heights. They're going to close Arlington Racetrack, and you put it right there.
You know where I'd put it. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Rosemont. How you guys? Hey, welcome to
Brad Stevens.
Welcome to the ballpark. How you guys doing? Open the gates. Len Caspa, come on in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You got security. Whatever you need here in Rosemont. Come on in.
I got you.
He opened the gates, and they're playing Sinatra.
Remember that night.
Hey, how you doing?
I got the call. I'm sitting. I can tell you where in my house I was sitting because I was so stunned. Phone rings. I'm watching TV. Hello? Yeah, is Dave there? Yeah, this is him. This is Brad Stevens, the mayor of Rosemont. I'm like, I haven't been in Rosemont in months. Why would I? How can I help you?
How you doing?
How you doing? Could you please tell Mr. Ricketts, I've got land here that I will give him. We want them here. You tell me what he has to have, done. I remember calling over there. They're like, yeah, we're trying to get the Wrigley thing done. We'll keep you in mind.
Yeah. Did he threaten me? No, he didn't threaten you. Just asking.
Just being very kind.
Okay. Just that. All right. Thanks, David.
And he likes the marquee
network. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Oh, my God. It's Brad Stevens. Security. They want us. Oh, my God. Deep breath.
We have options.
Oh, my God. Landmark status. Quickly. Please. That's where the Bears should be, right?
No question.
Wouldn't you like the Bears over there? So now I want to connect it to the casino,
mm-hmm.
So I don't have to bring my coat in. That's the whole kid.
Make my bet before I go in and watch my Bears.
Coat in the car while I watch the Bears with a dome on it. Take that.
Can't put Illinois at Northwestern there.
Yeah, exactly. Pritzker. Thanks, Pritzker. 312-332-3776.
How you doing?
We'll get more of your calls. As I said earlier, JR found something this weekend that so far many of us have failed to find.
Part one of
what are you most excited to eat on Thursday? Next. How you doing? Take that.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, Carmen Yurk coming up at 10. Greeny coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 until 6. And Black and Abdallah at 6 o'clock.
And now it's time for IBM Presents.
IBM Presents You Make the Call.
Thank you, Harry Callis.
Appreciate you.
We turn now to J.R. Strauss now because the holidays are here. Something special
for
J.R. Well,
let me just set the table.
What?
I said to you,
what?
J.R. had said, hey, if you have any contacts to get this, and Hoodie said to me, okay, let's see if we can come through for this guy. And so we've been on the prowl, working on it, trying. J.R. texts me, I don't know, 6 a.m. yesterday morning. I'm like, who the hell is texting me on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m.? JR, what's going on here? What'd you find, JR?
It was like 5:15. I'd only been up for a couple of hours. You know, I do the morning show here, too, and I don't sleep, Cap. So I was up kind of trolling around looking because I heard that the PlayStation 5 was going to be restocked at a retailer to be named later. So I click around, and sure enough, it comes up as add to cart. So I clicked it, added it to my cart. After a scare of my ID not being legit,
yep,
it went through. It went through. I got a PlayStation 5 at retail cost from a retailer. It is ready for me on Friday morning.
Take that.
So,
Black Friday.
There's a lot of hubbub, as you know, about the PS5. I told Tyler about it. He was excited. He told me that one of his friends turned around and flipped it for $1,500.
Excuse me?
What?
$1,500. Now I ask you,
and
guys,
how much are you paying retail?
It was $499 cost with tax, $550 straight away.
So wow, you pick up a cool $1,000.
So I ask you guys,
you make the call.
Yeah, look, you're talking to someone who's not a gamer. I would sell the thing in a second, make $1,000 profit.
Tyler,
all in.
I would sell it. I'm not a big gamer either, but even like 15-year-old Tyler is still saying sell this.
Wow, even 15.
You're what, 16 now?
Yeah, just got my license last week.
Bypassed the blue slip. Didn't need that. Huh?
Exactly.
Pretty good. But that is that's interesting. Would you? You know what? I would sell it. I like some video games.
Do you have a system at home?
No, I just have stuff. I have apps on my iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play a bowling game on my iPad when I can't sleep.
Yeah, but you know what? I think I'd flip it, JR.
Now, here's the other factor in the equation.
Yeah.
This is for a 13-year-old boy who is video game crazy.
Ooh. See, I'm thinking that maybe you want to keep it then, right?
Yeah, does he know you got it?
Yeah, we've been on this for like a week. He's been telling me where to look and when to look. And, Dad, did you log on here? And we've both been on this. This has been a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to just like ruin his day. Go, yeah, I got the unit. I sold it, and I put it in a mutual fund for you. Now, 30 years from now, he may go, hey, I'm glad you did that. Right now, you're going to break that kid's heart.
Okay, well, of course, a kid won't know what a mutual fund is, and he'll also say, we don't live in Omaha, so I don't need that.
Exactly. Your name's not Warren Buffett. I want my video game. And again, I understand you're making a big profit, the whole deal. If he's had his heart set on this, hard to take that away from him.
Have you shown him the resale price?
Yes, we have gone over it, and he is fully aware, but I'm not sure he understands the concept. Tyler and I were talking about this morning. Mm-hmm. You can give a 13-year-old $5, and they know what to do with it. What do they do with $500? They have no idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Like $20 to a 13-year-old means more than $500, doesn't it?
Yeah, because
all the things you want
is so,
are $20.
Like out of your norm.
Right.
What do you mean? $500? What am I doing with that? 20? Oh, yeah. Like they can't get the concept wrapped around
it. It's a great opportunity to teach some economics, but, you know, I mean, who wants to learn school on Thanksgiving break?
That's true. That's true. I'm thinking that if it's me, I'm selling it for my kid, though. If he's always wanted it, it's like, yeah. But here's the thing about kids, though. They're all looking for the next thing. Once he have it, they don't cherish it. It won't be around for 5 or 6 years. You can sell it refurbished. At some point, it won't be a grand, but someone else is going to want that thing, right?
Yeah, but like a car, once you drive it off the lot, man, the resale goes way down.
But perhaps you could find another unit if you keep doing your homework, and say, guess what? we're going to sell one of the units and can still have another one.
So, Cap, you coming through for me or what?
I will keep trying.
Another one.
I'll keep trying.
I'm just teasing. I will not be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. If he wants to sell it and that's something that he decides that he wants to do, I think we're going to wait to get another one. And that's part of the lesson, don't you think?
Probably. Hoodie, what are you doing? Hmm? What are you doing over there?
Oh, playing basketball. We're talking
NBA
about video
Jam?
Games, right? Yeah, we're talking
about... What do you got, NBA Jam on an app?
Yeah, EA Sports, yes.
He's on fire!
Yeah, so
remember when the guy would get all red hot with flames?
Boom, shakalaka!
I don't remember if the flames ever being that hot.
No shot. No shot.
Oh, man.
Well, congrats, Jer. I'm glad you got that worked out. Hoodie, is there something, and we'll talk about this the next couple days before Thanksgiving.
Well, Magic Johnson's really good in the video game.
Yeah, he's really good. Is there something you're looking forward to eating on Thursday that you think, I got to have that? Like, I'm not a turkey guy. I don't like turkey.
Right. Well, you know what? We're going to have Cornish hens. Because I'm not necessarily a three-pointer that's good from the left side by a Magic, and we're tied at four. So Trae Young brings it to the front court, has the top of the circle. I'm sorry.
Trae Young against Magic.
Yes, he's
great.
Let me pause this. I'll get caught up in it. But anyway, so.
You're having Cornish hens?
Yeah. You ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have Cornish hens.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife makes it a certain way where it has a beer flavor to it, a little beer chicken.
You could just go, like, to the Jewish deli and get, like, chicken Kiev.
Excuse me?
With Kishka inside of it.
Kishka? I don't even know her. I don't even know Kishka. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
to
I'm
my
not
lovely
a
wife.
I'm not a turkey guy. I'm not a Cornish game hen guy.
Does turkey slow you down? Does the tryptophan, does that affect you? Because it's a little heavy?
Yeah, it's not my jam. It's just not my thing.
It's not a song. Turkey's not my jam.
It's just not.
Who says that?
Me.
Turkey's not my jam. If you're not a turkey guy, that's why turkey's not going to be the main course. It normally is for a lot of people, but I like a nice Cornish hen. It's not as heavy, right? I don't want to have to just take a nap immediately after the meal.
Correct.
You know, I like a nice roll. I like a nice roll, a nice soft roll. I like that. Cranberry sauce, special cranberry sauce. I always like that, too. So, I mean, I'm not in particular, but I'm not necessarily thinking that the turkey's got to be the main thing.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it more tomorrow and get people's thoughts. But, yeah, I'm not the big stuffing guy. None of that.
But you'll have a little bit of everything, right? Just a touch?
Absolutely not.
So it's going to be a lot of fruit.
I'm going to make a steak.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's my Friday.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do the next day. I won't do that on Friday, but I'll do that on Saturday. You know why? Because it's a college football Black Friday.
So you bringing some into the show?
No. Absolutely not. No shot. No, this has been a long, long year. So I'm going to be able to enjoy that immensely.
All right. We will have more on Thanksgiving tomorrow. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.
Here's Alex Len, top of the circle. Left side is...
Oh, for crying out loud.